When man fall out with God, it is a very common occurrence. And here in Joshua chapter 7, and indeed verse 7, we read of that very thing taking place. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan." We may not always be in a calm and composed frame of mind when we go to the Lord in prayer. Yes, it is easy to pray. It is easy to pray when we are in the midst of a time of blessing. Our words flow easily as we give thanks to the Lord for his great goodness to us. Just as David dedicated a whole psalm to praising the Lord, beginning with the words, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever." And from there, his prayer of praise continued, finishing with the words, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name." Psalm 115. It is easy to pray and fill our mouths with words of praise when we receive tokens of the Lord's goodness. But our prayer times are not always so, such as in times of brokenness. In such times, prayer may become difficult, when we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It is in such times that we rely and depend particularly upon the Spirit of God to make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8 verse 26. The word groanings is a word which means sighings. And in such times, that's perhaps all that we can do. That's all that will come out of our lips, from our lips and out of our mouths, and that is a sigh. But the sighings of a child of God, a child of God who is completely overwhelmed, and that's all he can do is sigh, will nevertheless be heard in heaven. Those sighings will enter into the ears of the one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. For in Acts 7 and verse 34, testimony of Stephen, then, verse 33, "Then said the Lord to him," that is to Moses, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning." Same word. "I have heard their sighing, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt." They were in such bitterness of soul that all they could do was to sigh before the Lord. And sometimes that's all we can do. But as we see there from Acts 7 and verse 34, the Lord even hears that sigh when it comes from a broken heart. But then, isn't that why we go to the throne of grace? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. But then, what happens if we kneel before the Lord in a time of bitterness? When we have lost our sweetness, our serenity, and we look for someone to blame for our predicament and for the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Unfortunately, Joshua was in such a frame of mind. When he tried to come to terms with the defeat of his soldiers at the city of Ai, he may not know the reason for the defeat, but at least he turned to the Lord in prayer. So as he and the elders lay upon the ground before the ark of the Lord with rent garments and dust upon their heads, Joshua opened his heart and opened his mouth to the Lord. And the words which came from his lips are recorded for us in verse 7. Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. When a man falls out with God, that's how he will pray. That's how Joshua prayed. We notice then with regard to the opening of this prayer of Joshua, we see that Joshua complained to the Lord. He complained to the Lord. Throughout this whole episode, Joshua behaved in a way that was not like him at all. As we pointed out last week, Joshua behaved in a way that was completely out of character for this great leader of Israel. Upon receiving news of Israel's defeat at Ai, we see what Joshua did. We have here, first of all, his response, his immediate response to the news that his 3,000 soldiers had been defeated and a number of lives had been lost at Ai. After he rent his clothes and fell to the earth, he then prays to the Lord. Unfortunately, the first words which he uttered were words of complaint. The first words he uttered were to complain to the Lord. He begins with the words, "Alas, O Lord God." That word, "alas," is a word that means complaint. To complain, and that's what was upon his lips. He complained to the Lord, saying that he had brought this people over Jordan and delivered us into the hand of the Ammonites to destroy us. That's what his complaint was. He was blaming the Lord for what had taken place at Ai, blaming the Lord for allowing this defeat. Unfortunately, this is an all too common occurrence. For some people, when things seem to go against them or things go wrong, they immediately blame the Lord. Indeed, some of the best of men have used similar words before the ears of the Lord. As we find in Exodus chapter 5, and there we read about Moses, who had been raised up by the Lord to lead Israel out of Egypt. And we read in Exodus 5 and verse 20, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, that is the children of Israel. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savour to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord. Whenever Moses and Aaron were told about the children of Israel and how Pharaoh had increased their burdens, when he had asked Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, they came and told Moses, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so this evil entreated this people? Blame the Lord. Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. You see, Moses expected Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go at his first request. And when Pharaoh didn't let the children of Israel go immediately, but rather increased their burdens, and the children of Israel told Moses about it, Moses then went immediately to the Lord and complained. When a man falls out with God, are we all not guilty of that same sin sometime or another? If things don't go our way, we then complain to God and ask why he has allowed such things to happen. Let me show something in complete contrast. We turn to Habakkuk. Prophecy of Habakkuk. And there we read in chapter 3 and verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. The prophet could easily have gone to the Lord and complained. The fruit trees were barren. The fields yielded no meat. The flock were cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Did Habakkuk complain? No. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Complete contrast to what Joshua did, to what Moses did, and indeed to what we do betimes. We should be aware that when we complain about God's providential dealings with us, He is very displeased. Numbers 11, verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. So the Lord would not have been pleased when Joshua complained. That was Joshua's response. Next, we have Joshua's reasoning. Joshua was not trusting the Lord the way he should. Therefore, his faith became very weak. And when that happens and things go against us, we then tend to think the worst. Our thoughts run wild. Our thoughts run away with us. That's exactly what happened to Joshua. Joshua believed that the Lord had delivered Israel into the hand of the Amorites to destroy them. That's what he believed. That was his reasoning. Did Joshua seriously believe that the Lord had planned such a thing and that he would allow such a thing to happen? That he brought Israel out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, brought them over Jericho or Jordan, conquered Jericho, only for the Amorites to slay them, to destroy them? Did Joshua really believe that? His foolish reasoning was the same as that of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Exodus 14, verses 10 and 11. They believed the same thing. There was Pharaoh and his chariots in pursuit, and before them lay the vast expanse of the Red Sea. And we read in Exodus 14, and there in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee? Moses, we told you so. Did they really believe that? They believed it because there was no way through as far as they were concerned. They were not trusting in the Lord to divide the waters of the Red Sea. And we know what he did do. He reached down his mighty hand and he rolled the sea away. Over in Mark chapter 4, we have something similar involving the Lord's disciples. In that time, when the Lord sent away the multitude, they took ship. Or they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Did they believe that? Did they really believe that the Lord was going to, or the Lord had brought them into the ship for them to perish in the midst of Galilee? Well, you look at the verse 35, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over on unto the other side. There was no chance of the disciples perishing, but their minds ran away with them. And it was as if they almost had fallen out with the Lord. Carest thou not? Carest thou not that we perish? But they weren't going to perish. The disciples were not going to perish. The children of Israel were not going to perish at the Red Sea. And Joshua was not going to perish either by the sword of the Amorites. Do we not give ourselves sometimes to the same foolish reasoning? Moses told Israel why they engaged in such foolish reasoning. Do what he said. Yet in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. It was the reason. In this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 1:32. And when things seem to be going against us, you remember what Jacob said, all these things are against me. Really, they weren't. That's what Jacob saw with the eye of sight. But if he had looked with the eye of faith, he would have seen all things were working for him, not against him. So when things seem to be going against us, just like Jacob, as Jacob said, let us instead trust God to bring us through. He is a sovereign God, for he is in control of all things. We have Joshua's response, Joshua's reasoning. Then we have Joshua's regret. Perhaps the next words that Joshua spoke are the saddest of all. For Joshua said, would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. I say the saddest because here Joshua was thinking about the old days of being in the wilderness and saying that he wished he was back there. It's hard to take in. Would to God that we had been content. The word content means pleasing. It is also rendered desirous. It also means willing. It would have been pleasing to Joshua to go back. Yea, he would have willingly gone back. Because of what had taken place at Ai. He blamed the Lord. He challenged the Lord. Did the Lord bring them over Jordan for the Amorites to destroy them? That's the word he used, destroy. That was his reasoning. And that filled his heart with regret. Why didn't we stay on the other side of Jordan? Why didn't we stay in the wilderness? We would have been better off there. But you know, sadly some have followed through with that very thought. When things have gone against them, and they've tried to reason it all out, and they've thought about, I would have been better back in the world. At least I was happy in the world. I am reminded of a young couple. And they had a little child. About 6 months of that child's life, it took seriously ill. And I was in the hospital when that little child passed away. And I conducted the funeral. And it was tough. But while the parents were not Christians, they did attend the church. See, after that happened, I never saw them in church again. They had fallen out with God. They blamed the Lord for taking their child. Sad that Joshua regretted having been brought this far, that he even entertained the thought of going back to the wilderness. You see, there's no telling what people will do when they fall out with God, when they blame God for all that has happened to them. So we have Joshua, he complained to the Lord. We have Joshua and his consternation before the Lord. Joshua came to his own conclusion with regard to the defeat at Ai. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us. They'll surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" He was filled with consternation. Joshua had the feeling of fear. Fear had gripped Joshua's heart. And he believed this is what was going to happen. He first of all blamed the Lord for the defeat at Ai. He told the Lord that he had brought them over Jordan to be slain by the Amorites. Now he takes it a step further and he says, "We are going to be surrounded and we're going to be defeated when the Canaanites hear of this." There's no telling what will happen. We see, first of all, his disappointment. Israel's defeat at Ai was something which Joshua could not explain. Remember, he didn't know what Achan had done. He erred when he blamed the Lord for the defeat. Instead, what Joshua should have done was to have gone and inquired of the Lord the reason for the defeat. Should he not have asked, "O Lord, why doth thine anger burn against thy people? Wherein have we provoked thee?" When the Israelites were defeated in battle by the Philistines, the elders of Israel inquired in 1 Samuel 4, verse 3, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today?" They inquired of the Lord the reason for the defeat. When there was a famine in the land for 3 years, we read with regard to David in 2 Samuel 21, verse 1, David inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord the reason for the famine. And Israel inquired of the Lord for the reason for the defeat at the hand of the Philistines. If only Joshua had inquired of the Lord the reason for the defeat, he would have been told. Israel has sinned, for they have taken of the accursed thing, chapter 7 and verse 11. So let us learn from this incident involving Joshua. When things go against us and we suffer a defeat that we cannot explain, let us go and inquire of the Lord the reason why. Let us inquire of the Lord and not blame the Lord of what has happened. As well as his disappointment, we have his dread. Once again, we see how Joshua dreaded the worst. I think Joshua allowed his imagination to run away with him. He had it all worked out in his mind what was going to happen to Israel. We've already read it there in the verse 9. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it. All the inhabitants. See the way he exaggerates the situation. Talked about being destroyed. Now he talks about all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall compass us about and cut off our name forever. That's it. It's all over. We're finished. Now, when you look at these words, we have gone through 15 messages in the life of Joshua. And all that we learned about Joshua in those 15 messages, you would never dream that these words in Joshua 7 came from the lips of the great man. You never would have thought it. We've already said, this is all completely out of character. But you know, that's what happens. When we get our eyes off the Lord, we lose confidence in God, and we no longer have faith in God to give us the victory. What happened to the Joshua who led his forces in the valley of Rephidim and fought with Amalek? And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. What happened to that Joshua? What happened to the Joshua who, along with Caleb, stood up in the camp of Israel and gave his report, contrary to the report of the evil spies? Joshua said, "Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." What happened to that Joshua? Twice over, the brave Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Fear them not, they're bread for us. The Lord is with us. We have nothing to fear." Now look at him. On his face, on the ground, gripped with fear. What happened? How could such a brave general, a brave leader of his people, become so fearful? The answer is simple. A As a result of the defeated Ai, he had lost confidence in God. He didn't say or believe the Lord is with us. He didn't say that now. When we leave the Lord out of our calculations, then we will always fear the worst. Again, we go back to Mark 4. The disciples came and they awoke the Lord. They should have known better. If the Lord was asleep then, they were safe. The Lord wasn't anxious about the storm. They should have known with Christ in the vessel they could smile at the storm. And we are told, after they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful?" Then he gave them the answer. "How is it that ye have no faith?" There was the answer. That was the reason why they feared the worst. They believed they were going to perish. And the Lord said, "You believe this? You believe I would allow you men to perish? How is it that ye have no faith?" And here's Joshua. And his faith has suddenly become very weak. And just like the disciples who thought they were going to perish, so Joshua believed he and the children of Israel were going to perish too. How is it that ye have no faith? Think of the words of Job. If any man had an excuse for losing faith in God, it was Job, but Job didn't. What did Job say? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him." And the words of Solomon would surely apply here. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." And that's what we have to say. That's what Joshua did. He was leaning on his own understanding. Next, we see his dismay. According to Joshua's understanding of the situation, the Canaanites would surround them, and he thought, "They will cut off our name from the earth." Now, isn't that interesting? Look at the words again in verse 9. "The Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Which name came first? His own name. He thought of himself first. Then he mentioned the name of the Lord. Israel had been defeated at Ai not because of God, not because of his fault, because of her sin. And his concern should have been for the Lord's name and not so much for his own name. If a professing believer falls into sin, yea, he may ruin his own name. But what about the name of the Lord whom he represents? The world is only too willing to pour scorn upon the Savior and upon his name. The Apostle James said, do they not blaspheme, that is the world, do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? And that's what happens when a professing believer falls into gross sin. And everybody knows about it. That causes the enemies of the gospel to blaspheme the lovely name of the Lord. W.P. Nicholson, the great evangelist, had held a gospel campaign in a certain place, and quite a number came forth, received the Lord as their Savior. And one such man was seen a few days later. He came staggering up the road. He was drunk, highly intoxicated. And someone in the street said to Mr. Nicholson, look at that, there's one of your converts there. Nicholson said, that's right. He's one of my converts. If he had been one of the Lord's converts, he wouldn't be drunk. See, when anyone falls by the wayside or falls into sin, the world is only too ready to condemn, and the world is only too ready to blaspheme the name of the Lord. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspectly means diligently, means perfectly. And when we do so, we will not dishonor that worthy name by which we are called. In the last place, we have considered Joshua complaining to the Lord and Joshua's consternation before the Lord. And while Joshua's prayer did not begin too well, it certainly ended a lot better. Because here we have Joshua and his caring about the Lord. Joshua's prayer did not begin well, but here we see how it ends well. Because he said, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? There you have his passion. Now that his anger had subsided, now that he was of a calmer mind and spirit, he was no longer thinking about himself. Now he thinks about the Lord. And he realized that that defeated Ai would have dishonored the Lord. And Joshua came to that realization. This is more like the old Joshua. This is more like the true Joshua. More like the trusting Joshua. Showing that he did care about the great name of his God. May we ever keep the name of our God ever before us. And no matter how things turn out for us, may we not lose faith and lose our trust in the God of heaven. He will bring us through. You have his passion and we have his plea. He now displays that love for his God. He pleaded with the Lord to do something to preserve the honor of the name of his God. That's what he's saying. What wilt thou do unto thy great name? As someone said, it's not how a man begins that really matters, it's how he finishes. And while Joshua's prayer didn't begin too well, well, we can say he finished well, because his mind was now on the honor of his great God. So, believer, tonight, let us take heed and be warned, for these things are written for our learning. Let us not be amongst those who fall out with God when things don't seem to be going our way. But let us ever keep our trust in God and our faith in God. Have faith in God. May that be our watchword. May that be our motto. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O dear Lord, our God, we consider Joshua, and Lord, we see ourselves there in that man. Because just like Elijah, Joshua was a man of like passions as we are. And Lord, when things don't go our way, we always look around to find someone to blame. And so often, Lord, and we confess, we blame thee. O Lord God, forgive us for those times we have blamed thee. Forgive us for those times when we have fallen out with thee, as it were. And O Lord, may we continue always to have faith in God. Be with us, Lord, this week. Grant us all traveling mercy. Be with us in our going out and coming in, and our down sitting and in our uprising. And Lord, bless our souls richly in the reading of the word, in our times of prayer, in our fellowship with God's people. Lord, undertake for us now as we part the one from the other. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.